Hi, welcome to the Audio Engineers Podcast with me, Streaky, and...
me, Shay.
And this is number 8, which is on changes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say changes, what we're kind of going to talk about is changing things up all the time so that you don't get stuck and sterile in what you're doing and you're forever, I would say, progressing and gaining and moving forwards with your sound and with the sound of what's going on. People are changing their... people are moving with the times. You have to move with them. You have to get that sound. You have to find the sound. People are getting their own sounds. You've got to work out what sounds they're getting, how they're getting them. It's an ongoing process. But for some people, it isn't an ongoing process. And so I think you've got to look at it as change is good rather than change is bad and be prepared to do that a lot.
No, yeah, I completely agree. It's like I feel, especially from a producing point and a mixing point, it's always good to change what you're using all the time. So instead of having exactly the same sort of mix bus chain, for instance, swap a few different bits out every so often, maybe keep the same signal flow chain, but change what the plugin is on the insert. Might still be a limiter, but change what the limiter is, change what the flavor is for it. Same with EQs, like using different flavors of EQ. So you might be still using the same techniques, but you're using different equipment in order to get that technique, in order to get that sound.
And, I think you can get so the thing is, I think you're always aiming for a certain sound that you've got in your mind. When I change EQs out, I'm still trying to search for that, because I might get something, it might work in a different frequency range, but
yeah,
it's finding what I want to do with that bit of equipment, but having it so that it's giving a different taste, if you like, rather than, but it takes a while for you to work out whereabouts on the equipment it needs to be to get that sound that you're used to. So although you're kind of changing the equipment, you're kind of still keeping your own style on top of that equipment. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because you should probably be searching for new settings all the time, but I think they kind of happen naturally as time goes on. You see other people using certain settings, you try them out, you bring them into your sort of armory of settings. And then you kind of try them out on different tracks, work out where they work, where they don't work, what kind of sounds they give, so that when you're in a session, especially for me, because it's attended, unlike a lot of mix sessions or you know, if you're a writer, you're on your own a lot. So I need to work fast in a session. So I need to not be messing about too much on my own and playing with new stuff and bringing stuff in. Because that's, you know, that should be done at playtime rather than, know, where someone's actually paying for my hourly rate and my time.
If you do get a new piece of gear as well, you're probably only going to be using it in the way you would have used the piece of gear that it would be replacing.
That's what I'm saying, but you might use it in that way. But say, for instance, a GML EQ and a Masterlec EQ, you can do the same things, but you have to use different frequency settings to get the same effect.
Right, I see what you mean.
So it will sound different, but it still is nudging, like 114 on a Masterlec is different to 110 on a GML.
Okay, right.
So it's like, and they have certain frequencies. I've mentioned that one because that is a bass frequency. So it's, you know, and I know those ones off by heart. So, you know, there's slight variations upon a theme. But, you know, for instance, a Masterlec at 98 would be what a GML is at 110.
Okay.
So it's kind of, you know, because you're using different, and I think that's the same for plugins. You know, they'll have certain, you'll have to use a compressor in a different way to another plugin, because it's not going to produce the kind of sound you want just by photocopying the settings from the other one.
Yeah. I mean, in plugin world as well, it's a lot, because it's so saturated now with so many different plugins. I mean, like, there's so many different compressors and reverbs, and from free plugins all the way up to sort of UAD price plugins. So there's so many out there that I think it's not a bad idea to constantly want to change what you're using, because when you're changing,
do you find it's kind of sheep mentality where people only change to something if they've seen someone else using it, in the same way I said about settings?
Pretty much.
You're, So you'll go, okay, such and such is using that now, I'll do it. Hence the whole reason why most manufacturers are trying to get engineers on board all the time.
Pretty much, yeah. So like you see someone else using it, or you hear a track, or like you watch a video with someone making a tune in it or explaining what they did with it, and it's you see this plugin on there and you think, oh, well, maybe if I use that, I could get that kind of sound or see what that could do for my productions, and then you end up using it. But a lot of the time, again, it's not down to watching what other people are using. It's just if I see something new that comes out that I'm in the market for a new reverb, for instance, I'm always up for something that's going to be new, and just having it in the arsenal. I might not ever use it, but just knowing that it's kind of there is a good thing to know, so I can reach for it if I get a problem or I think that it's going to work for a certain thing. Whereas in like the analog world, it's a lot harder to do that because you can't just go and reach for a GML, or you can't just go and reach for a Maselect just straight away, like from a, do you know what I mean? It costs a lot of money.
Yeah, I've also got another theory as well, which I've said quite a few times in the past, that learning one bit of equipment and learning it well is really valuable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably more important for mastering and mixing, because you can get a sound from a certain piece of equipment that becomes your kind of signature sound.
Yeah.
And so, you know, deviating all the time too much, you kind of are going to get lost, and your style is going to get is going to change quite radically rather than being a natural progression.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if I hadn't have sat down when I first started and really honed in on an EQ and really, you know, just had that and one compressor, then I wouldn't have got as good on an EQ as I have. Yeah. You know, it's learning kind of one instrument at a time rather than trying to do 50. Say if you're a more experienced engineer, it's easier to bring stuff in, but if you're new, you're better off just staying with one or two plugs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just working the fundamentals of whatever that plugin does first, and then searching around for others to see what sort of flavors you can add while still using the same sort of fundamental controls. Yeah, like I've recently got rid of a lot of plugins off my computer, just gone through a load of stuff that I don't and have never normally used, just because they were there for the fact that, oh, it's there, I might want to use it at a certain point. Yeah, just recently just started getting rid of it, and it is really down to the fact of UAD and Slate, because of they've got.
Well, I would add to the changes thing is that what you just touched on there of keeping things minimalistic, so you're not having 50 reverbs in your setup. You're not having, because it becomes just a plug-in mess.
Yeah.
So everything really tight. So having your core set ingredients and then adding to those one at a time, chucking out stuff that you're not using, like being very diligent on how you're using your software and how you're bringing pieces of equipment in. Studio, I don't have tons and tons of kit. I've got quite a bit, but I don't have a lot of surplus that, just hanging around for the sake of it, because it's pointless.
I mean, even in plugin world, it's like, replace things. Don't just keep adding. If you're going to get something new, get rid of something that you're not going to use, or it's going to replace it. But I do strongly feel like being able to use different things and changing the plugins that you use, or changing the processes that you do in those plugins, just makes creativity so much more. Because you end up, if you don't do that, you end up making or the same sound pretty much, or you just end up getting the same sound all the time, which I can understand works well for mastering. But again, at the same time, you constantly want to be bettering what you're getting.
Well, I think also another thing for changing is you should be always not just the equipment that you're using for processing, but your environment, as we've spoken about previously, your speakers. I'm always trying to find better speakers, although I'm still on NS10s. But I'm still, you know, I've got a set of Genelecs sitting in the corner that I'm just staring at, which is ugly, but I'll give them a whiz later. Yeah. But I'm always trying new cables. I'm always trying new near fields. Yeah, I'm always trying new mains cables, trying to get less, shorter ties, things like that. I just think that, you know, you move your studio around quite a lot, I know, so that you can try and get that sound better. And it's all about just changing for the better rather than, you know, going backwards. And I think that if you take on too much at one time, it's very difficult to A-B between the two and know whether that is a good change or a bad change.
Yeah, exactly. And just commit to, if you do replace something or you change something, commit to the change that you've made, because you can just end up, like I say, just especially with gear or plugins, you just end up with a list of hundreds and hundreds of things that you're never going to use because you don't want to get rid of anything. Whereas if you find something new, replace it with something. Don't just add it to whatever was there before. Get rid of something that's just, like you say, surplus or just not going to be used.
Well, because it's like you're not going to basically, if you're hardly using it, then bin it. Yeah. And then learn something 100% rather than learning something 20%.
Yeah.
And then stick to that for a certain period of time and then move on to something else.
Yeah. It's like when you're talking about those Slate plugins. It's like everything that's in there now, they're sort of bringing out. Now they've got a plugin for everything. They've got EQs, saturators, reverbs, delays now. It's like they're sort of covering all bases.
Of course.
And they sound really good. They all sound really good. And it's just making all the others, like the main reason for me to get rid of a lot of stuff that I don't use anymore is before that, I would have kept them on there.
Well, I've not listened to a lot of the Slate plugins, but I would say it must be the same as equipment where they're all going to have a kind of vibe to them.
Yeah.
So is it not a good idea to not just stick with someone like Slate and bring in other manufacturers because their software is going to have a certain sound? And even though there is emulations of loads of different stuff, the actual backbone of it is going to be a similar programming. So having those different, that will add to totally different flavors, having different plugins from different manufacturers, surely.
Well, yeah, of course. But then again, you've got to be careful of how you're going to, like for every single project you do, it's probably not a good idea to change every single thing that you do or every plugin for every project that you use, because you will get a very different sound all the time. It's just finding a certain plugin or constantly on a search for a certain plugin or piece of equipment that's going to make what you do already sound better than what it already does, or just take you to the next level in terms of like sonic quality or flavor. I mean, you can get caught in this manufacturer sounds really good, but so does this one and so does this one. And then you've got seven compressors that they all do the same thing, but they've all got slightly different flavors, where really you could whittle it down to maybe two and tweak them variously. So you can get a broader sound from just the two of them. Like just pick the two best ones rather than like seven that are okay and they have this type of quality.
Okay. Well, I think we've kind of covered changes, hopefully. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Please leave us a review on iTunes and watch the YouTube video channel as well. You can see all of this at streaky.com. So head over there, get my Friday newsletter. Thanks for listening. Cheers, Jay. Speak to you next time.